Curtis Taylor is a young Mardu filmmaker, and Mardu people range across a vast area of the Great Sandy Desert in central Western Australia. It includes the former ration depot of Jigalong, where parts of the book Follow the Rabbit Proof Fence and the subsequent film were set. But Curtis Taylor grew up watching horror and action films. Now, two of his shorts are screening at the Winder Film Festival in Sydney. One he co-directed with Nathan Mewitt called Yulabidi, and it's about two brothers, one with cerebral palsy, and the harsh reality of living with a disability in a remote place. Curtis also directed another film that's based on the ancestral songline of the Wornman people. Now, this is Curtis's own family and their origin story, which is set around the vast Salt Lake at the heart of their country.
Yeah, so Nimanjara is a local story specific to the Punmu region, Ngaira Gujara, or Lake Dora in English, 8 hours east of Marble Bar. So, yeah, that's the closest town to Punmu. But, yeah, Nimanjara is a creation story of Nimanjara spirits or beings that were in the Jugurba, or the dream time, or for Wornman and Yangmara people, we say Mangun. And in the Mangun time, for creation for Nimanjara, how they traveled and the events leading up to, I guess, their destruction as spirit beings and their transformation into Wornman people that are living today.
For you, how do you go about telling a story that is so connected and so grounded in sacred knowledge for like a broader audience, or like where do you start for that?
I guess start with consultation with our old people, not just the Wornman people or the keepers of that story, but also the wider Western Desert people that have knowledge and, you know, that have a stake in that Mangun too, because everybody looks after it, everybody oversees it. But when it comes time to actually practice it, it's got to be coming from the tongues of the story that people come from, the region that they come from. So, yeah, we had to talk with a lot of people and make sure everybody agreed, and the details on how the story was going to be told and what we're going to explore throughout the, I guess, the production of the making of the documentary. And so, you know, luckily we have our last one man, my grandfather, Minyao Miller, and he's looks after all that story. There was songlines, those creation stories specific to Punmu area and the wider Western Desert area. But so, you know, with his knowledge and his guidance, then a lot of people that we talked to, you know, reassured us that, you know, if you have, you know, these important people throughout the making of the film, then, you know, then they felt comfortable in opening up a little bit more of the story. But with this story, we only were scratching the surface, because there's underlying stories that are secret, sacred, that, you know, we didn't want to touch or didn't want to, reveal. So we were just telling the public story of Nimanjara and, I guess, you know, to end on that destruction story of what happened in the lake. So what happened on the lake was at Ngaira Gujara, the two Buguri ended up chasing the Jila Gujara, the two snakes, across the country, but also pursuing them at the same time was the Nimanjara spirits. And they end up catching up with them at Punmu, at Ngaira Gujara, at the lake. And their final, I guess, the scene that plays out in the story, and that's all in the Mangun story too is at Gumbobendil, the place of the bursting of the bladder. They were cut up and the Nirmanjana spirits were trying to eat them, but after the bladder was too hot, then it exploded and burnt all the people on the lake, and that's when they died. And so the Nirmanjana spirits died, and then the Wanman people were born from that destruction.
I know for you, it's also really important to be working with young people in these areas that you're filming, so people who are part of your community, and making sure that they're kind of part of the process, like actually with the filming.
Yeah, definitely. Like, you know, now I live down in Perth on Wajak Noongar country and, you know, don't really have enough time to go back home, or, you know, as much time as I'd like to go back home. But when I do, for production, for movies or projects, that I always involve local young people in the production of the filmmaking. You know, most of the times when I go back with our short film that was funded by Screen West, Elevate 70, that we had actors and locals that live in the region, young people that came on board and work with us. The other film that's playing at Winter Festival is Yulubili, and Yulubili translates to until the end, or forever, unchanging. And in the story, there's two brothers that grew up with their father after their mother passed away, and she's no longer with them. So this is in the short film that Brinal, who is a disabled character in the film, it's Trenton, my cousin, he lives in Jigalong. He plays that role really well because, you know, he has cerebral palsy and he's bound to a wheelchair. But it was great for, I guess, us to work with him, just to have that authenticity in the character and also in the language in Madhu, that, you know, this is a Madhu person.
A lot. I think, in fact, all of your films are filmed in Madhu Wanga. Is that right? Is it all of them?
Yeah, I think all of them, yeah.
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 Why is it important to you to have your language be sort of the language on film?
I guess, you know, growing up, even being exposed to movies, that you really want, you know, your voice to come through. And I guess that's really important to have Maduanga there at the forefront, you know.
What sort of movies and stuff like that did you grow up kind of loving?
Mostly like horror genre that I, you know, grew up watching, and action. But also I had a love for documentaries, and yeah, really wanted to make documentaries, you know, that are documenting either plants or language. Definitely, you know, I'd like to experiment making other movies, or, you know, doing other documentaries with another language, or with just, you know, not Maduanga in it, or, yeah, that'll be exciting. But, yeah, for me, I guess it's very important to have that, so that, you know, when Madhu people back home can see their language, they can hear their language on screen, that they feel a sense of pride, you know, I guess, and I'll be going through that again too when I'm there with them in the audience watching, you know, these films being shown.
Something that I sort of have been thinking about is the way that for a lot of us, language doesn't, it's not a clean translation from one language to another, and that sometimes it is important to keep it to the original language because things get a bit murkier and a bit less precise.
Yeah, and definitely, you know, the that's a process you go through when you're finishing off the, you know, in production, in the editing, I guess, but always trying to keep it true to the language and the message that people are putting out there, but also like how people deliver their lines, you know, in those different tones, you know, because, you know, if there's variations of in the tone, then it becomes a totally different meaning.
Curtis Taylor, the Mardu filmmaker, and two of his shorts are being screened now at the Winder Film Festival in Sydney, which supports Indigenous filmmakers from across the globe. The films are Niminjara Songline and Yulubidi, which he co-directed with Nathan Mewitt. Both films are in their language, Mardu Wonga, and last week Curtis was a guest on our Word Up series.